This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. This week, President Obama reaches out to the Muslim world in Cairo. General Motors files for bankruptcy, and U.S. taxpayers get a stake in an auto company. Judge Sonia Sotomayor makes the rounds on Capitol Hill. Dan Shore is off this week, so we're joined now by our friend NPR News analyst Juan Williams. Juan, thanks very much for being with us.
Good morning, Scott.
And let's begin with the president in France today. He's just finished delivering a speech about the sacrifice D-Day veterans made 65 years ago. But before those ceremonies, he really did direct some tough remarks towards North Korea during a news conference where he said, almost this bluntly, "I only have so much patience." I should quote, "Diplomacy has to involve the other side in engaging in a serious way, and we have not seen that reaction from North Korea." What do you read into those remarks?
I think that the president's patience is coming to an end with North Korea. What we saw a week ago was that there was a clear sense that North Korea was going ahead in terms of trying to acquire nuclear weaponry and the missile capacity to deliver it. And now I think President Obama with China, and that's the key here, China saying they too have had enough, is holding out the proposition that maybe it's time to take action. And that is really a game changer, Scott. And what we're talking about here is not adding to the 28,000 or so American military on the ground in South Korea, but some action that would take out some of the missile and nuclear facilities in North Korea.
While keeping an eye on that, of course, we want to ask about the extraordinary scene of a U.S. president speaking in Cairo this week. Now, of that crowd in Cairo, I think it's safe to say President Obama had them at As-Salam Alaikum.
You know, I think he did. And, the White House, in terms of the impact it had, said that for them, the simple sight of young Arabs applauding the American president, and that image then across TV, the internet, being sent out, they thought it was so powerful and really was a game changer. The second part, of course, is the president speaking directly about the settlement issue with Israel and saying that Israel has to do something to halt the spread of the settlements. And again, an American president not only putting Israel and the Palestine state on equal ground, but being critical of Israel. Again, something the Arab world hasn't seen. So a tremendous moment there, and one, you know, I think lots of potential for criticism here at home in terms of the Jewish community questioning his fidelity to Israel. But the White House has taken steps to try to hold that down. And for the moment, what's key here is the president insisting that now is the time for making progress in the Israeli-Palestinian tension.
When the glow in the Arab world has worn off, is there potential for movement on either side? Can we see any of that this week?
I think there is potential for movement. And, of course, the key here is follow-up. And I think that would be the downside. People who wanted to criticize the president's speech would say, where's the action? Well, next week, the president's Middle East envoy, George Mitchell, is going to the region. And part of the pressure, of course, is going to be on the moderate Arab states to start to build some relationship with Israel, to end Israel's isolation. So we're talking about trade agreements.
I mean, the president said this week, you guys here in the Arab world can't blame everything on Israel.
Exactly right. And so that's the other side of it. And he's putting pressure now, of course, all the money that U.S. aid flows into the region. He's in position to say, you know what, I'm going to pay attention to this, and we want action now.
While the president was in the Middle East, another tape allegedly recorded by Osama bin Laden was released. What was this aimed at, would you guess?
Now, according to people in the intelligence community, CIA and the like, what they know is that this tape was made way before the president arrived in the Middle East. And they think it was made at around the time that American forces began, and Pakistani forces, I should say, began to put pressure in the Swat Valley, and therefore more pressure on what was happening with al-Qaeda. So they feel that there's added pressure. And so what Osama bin Laden is saying is that the U.S., for all of the talk coming from President Obama, is still creating stress and pressure on Muslims, especially in Pakistan. Look at the reality, and saying that Barack Obama, as president, is no different than his predecessors, in specific George W. Bush.
Juan, you and I are part owners of a car company this week. Congratulations, partner. I must say I was a little surprised by how car dealers have become preeminent in this situation.
Me too. I'm struck by the conversation on Capitol Hill this week. You know, we've seen closing of auto plants, but this week all the talk was about what's going on with your local car dealership. People that you may know from the commercials in which they are such loud, oftentimes comic caricatures of themselves. But people who also, as you pointed out to me this week in a conversation, are people who sponsor the Little League team.
Yeah.
People who give jobs to kids during the summer, and people who have needs for their cars to be washed and all this. That people in Congress are saying, well, why does my car dealership have to be closed? And I think there's sort of a groundswell, almost as if we think in terms of GM, Chrysler, and the like as American icons. Much of it is represented by the local dealership.
Judge Sotomayor began making the rounds on Capitol Hill. Did she leave a generally good impression?
She did. And, of course, we saw this week that Rush Limbaugh and Newt Gingrich went back on calling her a racist. Limbaugh says if she can be opposed to abortion in the country, he might even support her. And Gingrich said he was just rash in calling her a racist. But I think what you're seeing now is members of the Republican Party feeling that they really have gone too far and may have damaged themselves with Hispanic voters.
NPR's news analyst Juan Williams, thanks very much for being with us.
You're welcome, Scott.